بلندتر صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل
محمد. یہ تھا جناب آن محمد کے رجز کے متعلق. تو یہ عرض کرتا چلوں کہ بعض علماء کے نقل کے مطابق انہوں نے یہ فرمایا تھا کہ جی ایک رجز یہ تھا کہ تم نے کیا سمجھایا کہ کیا دین خدا لاوارث ہو گیا ہے, جب تک ہم زندہ ہیں دین خدا لاوارث نہیں ہے, اپنے معاملے پر قربان ہو جاؤں گا. یہ ایک کا تھا. اور دوسرے کا رجز یہ تھا کہ تم نے مجھے نہیں پہچانا, جعفر طیار میرے دادا کا نام ہے, انہیں اللہ تعالیٰ نے پر عطا کیے, ہم بھی اگر شہید ہو گئے تو ہمیں اللہ پر پرواز عطا کرے گا. سلوات پڑھیے. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء, وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول, والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء براء أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البدحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. جوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء, وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء, ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها, واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد, فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم, قال بما أغويتني لأقعدن لهم صراطك المستقيم, ثم لآتينهم من بين أيديهم ومن خلفهم وعن أيمانهم وعن شمائلهم ولا تجد أكثرهم شاكرين. وقال أيضا إن جهنم لموعدهم أجمعين لها سبعة أبواب. وقال أيضا قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
We already discussed the fact in that one of the very common ways how Iblis and his children among the humans and the jinns, Shayateen al-Insi wal-Jinn, try to deceive the human being with the very common means of deception and waswasa through the sins of the time and force the people to misbehave, use abusive language, having a bad mouth, bad kalami karna, gustakhi karna, bad tamizi karna, gali galoch karna. So much so that, like we mentioned in the last night's speech, especially in our interactions with the fellow human beings, the fellow mu'mineen, our interaction inside our own family members, interaction between the husband and the wife relation, aisa na ho ke insaan ki badkalami ki bunyad par dusre log aapke marne ki dua maangne lage. Aisa na ho ke dusre ghar wale aapki bad akhlaqiyon ki bunyad par aapke marne ki baddua karne lage. To isi ka batin maine kal aapki khidmat mein al-Urfa ki nigah mein jo hai wo pesh kiya tha ke jo shakhs bad kalam hota hai, a person who has a bad mouth and doesn't have a controlled talk, is his spirituality is like a dog, and it's our responsibility to control our tongue. And according to some of the narrations, it has been narrated that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam had said that man dhamina bayna lihyayhi, someone who guarantees for me to control what is between his two jaws and what is between his two thighs, جو شخص یہ ضمانت دے کہ اپنے دونوں جبڑوں کے بیچ میں پائی جانے والی چیز کو اور اپنے دونوں رانوں کے بیچ میں پائی جانے والی چیز کو کنٹرول کر سکتا ہے تو میں اس کے لیے جنت کی ضمانت لیتا ہوں. So we can realize if somebody can control what is found between the two jaws, that is the tongue, and our responsible behavior in towards the private parts, this kind of person is headed towards the paradise. And one of the very common things which I always try to mention in the ashraf that I recite in different places in different years is the matter of ghibat. Before I move to the subject of tonight and the means which Satan utilizes that I would like to mention tonight. But very quickly I would like to touch the subject of ghibat and backbiting, which is related to the sins of the tongue and very common thing, and I would not like to ignore it. Ghibat has been defined in the hadith of the Holy Prophet that dhikruka akhaka bima yukrehu, that you mentioning your brother, that means you talking about your fellow mu'min brother behind his back, in a way that if you talk it, if you say the same thing on his face, he feels bad about it. Koi bhi aisi baat apne mu'min bhai ke silsile mein peeche peeche karna ki jo uske muh pe kahi jaye to usko buri lage. Now some people say, well, I can say it on his face also. But this is besides the point. Whether you have that negative courage to say the thing on the face of the person or you don't have that courage, this is not the point. The point is that whether he would feel bad about it or not. If a mu'min will feel bad about what you would say on his, behind his back, if you say something which he feels bad about, then it is considered to be a ghibat. And second very important point is that ghibat is always true. This is also, I always emphasize in my speeches every time, because lots of people have this misconception that Maulana main sach keh raha hu, unhone aisa hi kaha tha, aap koi jhoot thodi bol rahe ho, fala sahab ne aisa hi kaha tha. If you were telling a lie, it would be a tuhmat and slander, which is even worse than ghibat. So ghibat is always the truth. Let's be very clear about it. And ghibat is one of those sins which actually entitles a person to enter the paradise as the last person. Because if we do the tawbah, because the hadith of Imam Salih alayhi salam says that man kana man mata musirran ala al-ghibati fa huwa awwalu man yadkhulu an-nara wa man mata ta'iban alayha fa huwa awwalu wa akhiru man yadkhulu al-jannah. Somebody who passes away while he was insisting, that means he continued to perform the ghibat and he didn't die away with tawbah, this kind of person would be the first to enter the hellfire, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says. So the first person to enter the hellfire is the one who died from this dunya by doing ghibat without the tawbah. Sadaqat Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he said the truth. Wa man mata ta'iban min al-ghibah, and somebody who dies from this world after doing tawbah from the ghibah, it's a serious matter. If somebody dies from this world after doing the tawbah from the ghibah and backbiting, and this kind of insult towards a fellow mu'min brother, then he would be the last person to enter the paradise. Let's remember what a person is doing when he performs the ghibah. Ghibah, when you are talking a true thing about a fellow mu'min brother or sister behind his back, or you say it in a way that he feels bad about it if you say it on his face. Now, a mu'min person is the one, how I already defined in one of my previous speeches, in the simplest possible definitions, as one of the simplest possible definitions is that a person who believes in the walayat and imamat and hukumat and khilafat and governance of 12 imams and does not support any taghut in his life. When you find the word mu'min written in an Islamic book, you know, of course other than Quran and Hadith, because Quran and Hadith have to be interpreted in a very higher and deeper way. But in any Islamic book, when you find the word mu'min written, you can replace this definition in that word, in the simplest meaning of that sentence. That anybody who believes in the walayat and imamat and hukumat and governance of 12 imams and does not support any taghut in his life. So if a person is a supporter of the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he is not the supporter of the walayat and hukumat and leadership of any taghut, but I am insulting him behind his back, whom I am harming, to whom I am causing the harm, the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Please pay attention to this aspect of the ghibat, that you would be messing around with the supporter of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Look at the hadith when the Prophet looked at the Holy Kaaba and said, "Ma a'zama hurmataki ala Allah." Prophet had a look at Kaaba. Looking at Kaaba is ibadat in Islam. Just like looking at the face of Imam Ali alayhi salam is ibadat, which is narrated by Ummul Mumineen Aisha. He says that I saw my father staring at the face of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and I said to my father, "Why are you looking at Imam Ali like this?" And he replied, "Didn't you hear the Holy Prophet saying, Al-Nadaru ila wajhi Aliyin ibadat?" Looking at the face of Ali is ibadat. Just like looking at the face of Imam Ali is ibadat, Imam Ali has so much similarities with the Holy Kaaba, and Kaaba has so much similarities with Imam Ali. So looking at the Holy Kaaba, if you do nothing, just go in the Masjid al-Haram, the sacred mosque, and just look at the Holy Kaaba, do nothing else, you are doing ibadat of Allah. So we find that Prophet had a look at the Holy Kaaba and he remarked, "Ma a'zama hurmataki," how high, how great is your honor. That means how much honorable you are in the eyes of Allah. And then Prophet said, "Wallahi lal mu'minu a'zama hurmatan minki." I swear to Allah, one mu'min is higher in his respect
is greater in his respect than you.
We all know how much respect the Kaaba enjoys.
You know,
even if there's you have a local mosque in your neighborhood, if you enter into the mosque, you find the wall is najis. What does the Sharia of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam say? Starting your prayers is haram.
You have to make the masjid tahir and park first. This is aham. This is more important. First things first. There are lots of things which are more important than the prayers. Some people are silly. They don't understand the priority list of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, and that's why they are stuck.
Just like the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, which is the most important thing in Islam.
You know, a guy was praying and Prophet called him, he did not respond. Prophet said, called him again, he didn't come back, he didn't come. Several times it happened, and finally when he was done with the prayers, he came back and Prophet said, why didn't you come when I was calling you?
He said, Ya Rasulullah, I was praying.
Kaise kaise
jahil log paaye jaate hain muashire mein,
kore anpadh, jinko ye tameez nahi hai ki tum walayat ahle bait se khali khokhli namaz padh ke ye samajh lo ki ye namaz tumhe Allah ke qareeb bana degi.
Kaise kaise jahil muashire mein paaye jaate hain. How ignorant some people are who don't realize the importance of the walayat of ahle. Prophet is the wali of the time as well. Let's not forget, Prophet has triple positions, Tawawat and Imamat and Risalat and Nubuwat. Prophet is also the Mawla. He says, فَمَنْ كُنْتُ مَوْلَاهُ فَهَادَ عَلِيُّ مَوْلَا. Jiska main Mawla hoon, so Prophet bhi to Mawla hai. Imamat ki position, Walayat ki position, Prophet ke paas hai na. He also has enjoyed the position of Imamat and Risalat and Imamat and Walayat in addition to Risalat and Nubuwat. So, what I was saying is that walayat of Ahlul Bayt is the shart and condition for the acceptability of all the amal, not just the prayers, but people are silly. There are lots of things in Islam which are more important than your prayers. But people are silly, they don't understand it. That's why they are stuck. They are busy in lesser important or unimportant things at the cost of ignoring the more important things in the dictionary of Ahlul Bayt. And all those less important things will be thrown back at their faces at the cost of ignoring the walayat. So what I was saying is that just like if you enter into a masjid and you see the wall is najis, the Sharia of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says it's haram to start your prayers. Go and wash and make the masjid tahir and park first before you start your prayers. This is the respect and azamat and greatness and hurmat and dignity of a regular masjid in your muhalla, in your neighborhood. We are not talking about the respect of the Jami Masjid, the masjid where Salatul Jum'ah is installed according to the shara'it and conditions. Masjidul Jami has a greater respect in Islam. And then we have the Al-Masajidul Arba, the four greatest mosques in Islam. You know, Al-Masjidul Haram, which means the respectable mosque, the Kaaba, and Masjidul Nabi, Masjid of the Prophet in Medina, and Al-Masjidul Aqsa in Baitul Muqaddas, which Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi announced to hold the Yawm al-Quds on the last Friday to make the issue alive, which the Zionists have occupied. And the fourth one, of course, is Masjid al-Kufa of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So these are the four greatest mosques. And among these four, the most superior one is Al-Masjid al-Haram, the masjid where Kaaba is located. So now you understand the sequence of the Holy Kaaba, how important it is. So the same Kaaba, Prophet had a look, what I was telling you, let's go back to this point. Prophet had a look at Kaaba and he said, how great are you? That means, how great are you in the eyes of Allah? But then Prophet said, I swear to God, one mu'min is greater than you. Do we think like this? And Prophet said, لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ مِنْكِ وَاحِدَةً وَمِنَ الْمُؤْمِنَ ثَلَاثَةً. Because Allah made one thing haram towards you, whereas Allah made three things haram towards the mu'min. Life of the mu'min is honored, his money, his wealth is honored, and husnuddhan, his dignity, his izzat, his respect is there. You cannot have su'izzat against the mu'min. There are three things that we need to take care about a mu'min, whereas the Kaaba has only one.
So when we are doing ghibat, look at the ghibat and backbiting thing from this perspective, that you are actually messing up, messing around with one supporter of the walayat and the army of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So it goes to Imam Ali alayhi salam. As long as a person is a supporter of the walayat of Imam Ali and not siding with any tahut, he has a dignity. Just don't trample upon that dignity. So, salawat. And now coming to the discussion of tonight, the ayat which I recited in the beginning of my speech, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Say, my servants who have done zulm on their self, those people who have done zulm on their own souls. Every sin actually is a zulm on our own soul, if we understand. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Don't be disappointed from the rahmat and mercy of Allah. Inna Allaha yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Allah forgives all the sins. So, Inna Allaha la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. Another verse of Holy Quran says that Allah forgives, does not forgive the shirk, but forgives yaghfiru ma duna dhalika. Anything other than the shirk, Allah is there to forgive. Allah can forgive anything other than that for whom He wishes. So, one of the very common ways of deception of shaitan, through which he tries to make us, the human beings, enter into the hellfire through one or more of those seven doors, is al-yaqsu an rauhillah, Allah ki rahmat se mayusi. Allah ta'ala ki rahmat se mayusi, getting disappointed and disheartened from the rahmat and mercy of Allah. At no stage of our life we are supposed to get disappointed from Allah's mercy, because Allah's mercy is all inclusive. He's ready to forgive every sin that you can imagine, other than the shirk. Everything He's ready to forgive. His sab yaman sabakat rahmatuhu ghababahu. O you whose rahmat is sabik, has taken a lead over his ghabab. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two kinds of mercies. Rahmat of Rahmaniyat of Allah, which includes all the creatures in the universe, including the mu'min and the kafir and the munafiq and and those who have nothing to do with Allah, and the enemies of Allah also. Allah is providing mercy. Rahmat of Rahmaniyat, Rahmatun Rahmaniya, is being provided to all. Allah has given rizq, Allah has given food, Allah has given existence and wujud, and so many uncountable blessings to different existences, even those who have nothing to do with Allah, even those who don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the rahmat of rahmaniyat of Allah. Whereas the second form of the rahmat of Allah is the rahmatun rahimiyyah, the rahmat of the rahimiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rahmat of rahimiyat of Allah is sifatun khas. It's ismun aam bi sifatin khassa. It's a general name of Allah with a specific application. General name in the sense that you can name anybody with the name of Rahim, because this is not specific to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aapke yahan bachcha paida hua, aap uska naam Rahim rakh sakte hain. Aapke yahan bachcha paida hua, aap uska naam Rahman nahi rakh sakte. So Rahman Allah ta'ala ka makhsoos naam hai. There's a specific name of Allah. You cannot name anybody to be Rahman. You can name him Abdul Rahman, but you cannot name him to be Rahman. Whereas Rahim is a general name, so you can name anybody to be Rahim. But the rahmat of the rahimiyat of Allah is specific to the mu'min people only. Having learned this difference between rahmaniyat and rahimiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at no stage a mu'min person should be disappointed from Allah's rahmat, because we are always ready to forgive.
And getting disappointed is one of the ways how Shaitan deceives us to be disappointed.
Because disappointment leads us to follow the path of batil and masiyat and sin further. Because we think that we have already reached the point of no return. We cannot be forgiven. Our youth, our people, our elderly people must realize that at all stages of life, Allah is ready to forgive us. So we should always return back to Allah, and that's the meaning of the word tawbah. Literally speaking in Arabic means taba yatubu tawbatan ay raja'a yarji'u ruju'an. That means turning back to the sirat al-mustaqim, to the straight path.
When we do the sin, we went off the straight path, we went into the hellfire, we got burnt. Now by doing tawbah, we are turning back to the straight path. At every stage we should turn back. Inna al-mu'mina, the hadith says, Inna al-mu'mina mufattarun tawwab.
Mu'min is constantly put to fitna and test. Fitna means test and imtihan. Literally. Mu'min is constantly put to test and he constantly keeps on doing tawbah. So every time we, God forbid, we are not masoom. Every time, God forbid, we do a sin, you know, we always do the tawbah. We always do the tawbah, we come back. We don't stay in the sin. Because doing one sin after the other without doing tawbah in the middle makes us qatiyul qalb and stone hearted.
That's what is not there in the agenda of a mu'min.
Even if we end up doing a sin, we don't do the second sin, we do the tawbah first.
Inna al-mu'mina mufattanun tawwab. So we find in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, it has been narrated that Buhlul al-Nabbash came to Rasulullah. He was brought by one of the Ashab accompanying with him. And Buhlul came to Rasulullah and said, Ya Rasulullah, I did a sin. And he was kind of, expressing his statements in a way that he was kind of disappointed. So, Prophet said, is your sin bigger or the mountains? Is your sin bigger or the mountains are bigger? He said, Ya Rasulullah, my sin is bigger. Prophet said, is your sin bigger or the galaxies? He said, my sin is bigger. Prophet said, is your sin bigger or the skies? He said, my sin is bigger. Prophet said, is your sin bigger or the stars? He said, my sin is bigger. Prophet said, is your sin bigger or the rahmat of Allah? He said, rahmat of Allah is bigger. So at that point, he started to mention his sin in front of Rasulullah. We don't have confessions in Islam like the, you know, some other religions that you go and confess in front of your priest. First of all, there's no confession in front of any priest. The same religion Islam which makes it haram to talk about other people's sins and faults, the same religion Islam makes it haram to talk about your own faults in front of anybody. Don't insult yourself. You have a dignity. You are a woman. You are not even allowed to talk about your own faults. There are some people who come up to the maulanas and scholars and say, Maulana, maine to ye kar diya tha. Maine to 2 saal pehle tak main ye karta tha. 7-Eleven pe kaam karta tha. Main sharab bechta tha. Aapko koi zarurat nahi bayan karne ki. Agar aapne haram kaam kiya hai, haram kaam kamai hai, haram kamai hai, to uska aake bayan karne ki zarurat nahi ki aapne ye kaam kiya. Don't insult yourself. Islam doesn't allow it. It's not jais to insult yourself. So, but Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are different because they are already the shahid and witness over all the amal that we perform. How stupid those people are, you know, who believe that the Prophet has already died and he has nothing to do with us and don't even call the Holy Prophet because he is dead. How stupid those people are.
people are who are making a claim which is contrary to the nuts of Holy Quran, where Allah has said, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا.
So when on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this verse has been narrated by some of our mufassireen, that Prophet, our Imams are witness over all the nations, you know, and Prophet is a witness over all the Imams. So our Prophet is a witness. Quran has called the Prophet to be Shaheed. When Quran is calling the Prophet to be a Shaheed and witness, then who is anyone to say that Prophet is not witnessing what we are doing? He is Shahid and Nazil and overlooking and overseeing over every single thing that we perform, and our A'mal تُعْرَضُ أَعْمَالُ الْعِتَادِ أَبْرَارِهَا وَفُجَّارِهَا كُلَّ صَبَاحٍ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. That all the actions of all the people are presented on every morning in front of Rasulullah, who is the commander in chief of the whole universe. Right now is Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Our amal are being presented. Right now our amal are being presented in front of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And when he finds some of the Shias are doing good, he prays for them. He feels happy. He becomes happy. When he finds the Shia is doing a sin, he feels sad about it.
Ek nazar e lutf bhi agar mere maula ki meri taraf ho jaye, ek nazar e lutf bhi agar meri taraf ho jaye to meri taqdeer ban jaye. Qismat ka lafz main istemal nahi karunga kyunki Islam mein qismat ka koi tasavvur nahi hai. Har cheez well defined, well known, well calculated Allah ki taqdeer mein pehle hi muayyan hai.
We don't believe in qismat. There is nothing as luck.
Luck koi iman based tasavvur nahi hai.
جاہلانہ گفتگو ہے. اسلام میں قضاء و قدر کا تصور ہے جو رسول اللہ بیت نے ہمیں سکھایا ہے. تو میں عرض کر رہا تھا کہ when we don't have confessions in front of the priest, but the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are already witness over all the actions, and in addition to being witness, the Prophet have been given the special status by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise the Imams have been given the special status by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if they ask for forgiveness towards a person, Allah always accepts. No matter what the sin may be. مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لَيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. Allah kabhi bhi unpe azab nazil nahi karta jab tak aap unke darmiyan hai. Ek bahut badi illat jiski wajah se is ummat par, ummat marhuma, this ummat of the Holy Prophet, which is the blessed ummah from Allah and the most superior ummah among, as compared to all the previous nations that passed by, we, the nation of the Holy Prophet, is the most superior. One of the reasons is that there is always a personality, be it the Holy Prophet or Imam Ali alayhi salam or one of the other Imams, and right now Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, always present in this ummah. And because of the presence of one of the hujjat of Allah at all times, Allah is not sending His azab on this nation. So we find the person started to confess in front of Rasulullah. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, I am, unfortunately, I am a Nabash. I am a Nabash. You know, Nabash in Arabic means somebody who opens up the grave to steal the coffin. Nabshul Qabr is haram in Islam. It's haram in Islam to open up the grave of a Muslim person. This is an insult of the Muslim. So, I am a Nabash. That means I used to steal the coffin of the dead people. And this time, when I learned that one of the persons was buried in the graveyard, what I did is that I went into the grave and I opened up the grave and to steal the coffin as usual. And this time it was a girl, and I did a sin towards that dead body.
So when Prophet heard that statement, Prophet said, "Go away. I am afraid a flash of lightning can come from the sky and include me along with you."
इस्लाम में कहा गया कि जब शराब पी जा रही हो तो आप ऐसी दस्तरखान पे, ऐसी टेबल पे, ऐसी जगह पर, ऐसे बज़्म में मौजूद ना हो. लोग समझते नहीं है अहले बैत की नूरानी तालीमात में क्या क्या हिकमतें. मौलाए कायनात ने क्या फरमाया था, फ़इन्नल लअनता इज़ा नज़लत अम्मत मन फिल मजलिस, व्हेन द लअनत एंड कर्स ऑफ अल्लाह अराइज़ इट इंक्लूड्स ऑल दोज़ हू आर प्रेजेंट इन दैट गैदरिंग. You cannot say, "Well, I was not drinking." It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. You were there. You didn't stop them. You did not stop them from the haram. If you are unable to stop, leave the gathering. Either you stop the haram being happening. If you are unable to stop the haram, leave the gathering. Otherwise, you are also mal'oon. Just like those are mal'oon who are doing that kind of wrongs, which deserves the la'nat of Allah if it arrives, then you will be also included in that la'nat if it arrives. So, we can never be part of any sin, and we cannot be witness to a sin. We cannot be witness unless we condemn it. You know, thousands and thousands of civilians and innocent people are being dying in Iraq, in Palestine, and we cannot be just turning our blind eye to what is going on and say, "You know, we are very muqaddas and holy person. I have nothing to do with politics and society. Let the people be killed. And I have nothing to do with that." If you believe that you have nothing to do with that, then the hadith of the Holy Prophet has already made clear you have nothing to do with Islam. Because the Islam of Prophet and Imam Ali al-Islam says that man asbaha wa lam yahtamma bi umur al muslimin falaysa bi muslimin. Anybody who dons and he does not give importance to the affairs of the Muslims has nothing to do with Islam. So it's your choice. You want to be having a relationship with Islam, then you have to be caring about Islam and the Muslims. If you don't want to have any relationship with Islam, then it's fine. Be a kafir and do what you wish to do. ये नहीं हो सकता है हमें क्या, कितने ही मर रहे हो, हम क्या करें. आपको इस्लाम से खारिज कर देगा रसूलुल्लाह की हदीस के मुताबिक. तो ये नहीं कह सकते कि हमें क्या. इट्स वेरी सैड दैट आई लर्न इफ दैट इज ट्रू व्हाट हैपेंड, इफ दिस न्यूज इज ट्रू व्हाट हैपेंड, दैट इट्स वेरी वेरी सैड टू फाइंड दैट वन ऑफ अवर मोमिन लेडीज was not allowed in the procession of Imam Hussein alayhi salam to carry a placard. Carry a placard condemning the death of innocent people. We are commemorating Imam Hussein alayhi salam's greatest ever sacrifice in the history of humanity, which is an icon and symbol and alamat of Islam. And this julus is one of the most respectable sessions in Islam, and this is a slap on the face of all the taghuts, and this makes us remember that we can never ever give in to any zalim and taghut in our life, and we have to support the adl and the system of adl and the supporters of adl and follow the footsteps of the masumeen alayhi salatu wasalam. And in the procession of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we cannot condemn the killings of civilians. What is going on? Did we understand the message of Karbala? It's very sad, I have to say, for all those brothers, and I would request them to change this attitude for the future. If we want Imam Hussain alayhi salam to be pleased with us, and if we want Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha to be pleased with us. So, what I was saying is that Prophet said to that person that, "Go away. I'm afraid a flash, a lightning comes from the sky and includes me along with you." And the Prophet says, "Sadr ma khatamul mursaleen and rahmatan lil alameen," says such a statement, it carries a lot of weight. How hated the act was in the eyes of Allah and the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the guy went, he left the city of Medina, he went to the mountains and he started to cry. And the riwayat says that he cried so much for long durations, the hair in his eyebrows, these hair fell down. He melted the flesh of his body, he lost so much weight. And it's mentioned in the sharait and conditions of tawbah anyway, you know, a person was saying astaghfirullah in front of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Amir Mumin was present. He said, do you know atadrim al istighfar? Do you know what istighfar is? Istighfar is not, in other words, it's not just a lip service, you know. I do whatever I do and I come up and say astaghfirullah and that's it. You know, Imam Ali says it includes seven things. In other words, so if he then starts mentioning, istighfar includes the first of all, istighfar means that means you are nadim, pashiman, and you are repenting on the wrong that you have done. You have to feel nadamat and pashimani and repentance in your qalb, in your heart, about what you have done. And then, of course, al-azmu, that means you have the irada, you have the strong will not to turn back to the sin again. After nadamat and pashimani and repentance, the second component of istighfar, if we are serious about our forgiveness and we are seeking forgiveness from Allah, then we have to make sure our forgiveness procedure includes these seven points. Second of all, we should have the concrete will not to turn back to the sin. And at least at the time of doing the tawbah, of course we are fallible people, we may keep on making mistakes. But if we make tawbah every time we make a mistake in the serious way, there is a chance we will get rid of the sins gradually, decrease the number of sins gradually, and a time would arrive we will achieve the tazkiyatun nafs. This is the format. So the second thing is that you have to have the will not to turn back to the sin. Third of all, you have to fulfill the huququn nas, the rights of the people that you may have messed up. You have to fulfill those before saying astaghfirullah. So likewise, huququllah. If you didn't pray your father prayers, go and pray your father prayers. Ab ye bhi nahi hai ki 20 saal ki namazein qaza ho gayi hain aur namaz padh hi rahe hain, ab kya hai astaghfirullah khuda mujhe bakhsh de. Par pehle namaz to padhna shuru kijiye. Ek sahab mar gaye, apni wasiyat mein likha ke mere sahabzade ko ke 40 saal ki meri namazein padh lena. Sahabzade ko apni namazein padhne ki fursat nahi. 40 saal tak aapne namazein nahi padhi hain, yani aap 55 saal taqreeban aap kya karte rahe? So you have to start your own qada prayers in your life. So you have to fulfill the huququllah. And after that, Imam Ali Rasulullah says the flesh, in other words, you know, the flesh, the blood, the things, the whatever, the bones that you have grown with the haram, you have to melt those haram components from your body. How would we melt that? Of course, Islam teaches us we melt it through having the fast. Agar maine haram cheezein khayi hain, if I ate up haram food, I have to fast so much that I melt those haram components which have gathered into my body. As long as ek lokma haram insaan ke pet mein paya jata hai, uski koi namaz aur koi dua qabool nahi ho sakti hai Ahl-e-Bait ki shariat ke mutabik. Usool ko to hum tabdeel nahi kar sakte na. اصول تبدیل نہیں کیے جاتے. ہمیں اپنے آپ کو اہل بیت کی تعلیمات کے مطابق ایڈجسٹ کرنا ہے. ہم ان کی تعلیمات میں تحریف نہیں کر سکتے اپنی کنوینئنسز کی خاطر. اس لیے کہ ہم یہود و نصارہ نہیں ہیں. الحمدللہ ہم یہود و نصارہ نہیں ہیں کہ ہم آ کے اہل بیت کی تعلیمات کے سلسلے میں کوئی بھی تحریف کر دیں, کیونکہ ہمیں پسند نہیں ہے. Sixth of all, Imam Ali alayhi salam said that you have to taste yourself the pain of the obedience of Allah, just like you made yourself taste the sweetness of the sin. Just like you made yourself taste the sweetness of the sin, now you have to make yourself taste the pain of the obedience. In other words, and then seventh of all, he said, that means after fulfilling these six conditions, then you say Astaghfirullah. This is how we do istighfar. یہ نہیں ہے کہ آ کے صرف لپ سروس کے طور پہ لقلقائے لسانی کے طور پہ if you just say استغفر اللہ as a lip service this kind of person the حدیث of امام رضا علیہ السلام says فقد استهزأ بنفسه یہ اپنے آپ کا مذاق اڑانا ہے اللہ کا تو ہم کچھ نہیں بگاڑ سکتے کچھ نہیں کر سکتے جو آدمی یوں ہی استغفار کی رٹ لگائے چلے جا رہا ہے شرائط چونکہ بیان کر دی گئی ہے اس کے باوجود اس پہ عمل نہیں کر رہا it's already public information not hidden but we are not serious if we are serious we'll always learn what the prophet and Ahlul Bayt have said from the scholars and do accordingly if we are serious about our soul and right now it's already an information age you know anything happens in Baghdad and you can go to google.com after 10 minutes and you can find the video there so now it's no longer an acceptable quote unquote acceptable excuse for anybody to say but I didn't know what Islam says Well, right now, it's, everything is already getting further and further known to even the non-Muslims. Isn't that right? They're doing much more research than some of us. So we have to be particular about it. It's no longer acceptable that I didn't know. You don't know, you can always have access. Aapne janna chaha nahi hai sabhi. Agar aap janna chahte, to aapko اتنا بول سکتی تھی جاہلوں کی بھی دو قسمیں بیان کی گئی ہیں شریعت میں ignorant people are divided into two categories الجاہل القاصر and جاہل المقصر جاہل القاصر وہ ہوتا ہے الجاہل القاصر is that kind of ignorant person who doesn't know but he does not have any access to knowledge any means of removing his ignorance either So he is forced to stay in ignorance because he has no means and no tools to remove his ignorance. Whereas the jahil muqassir is that kind of ignorant person who is ignorant but he has the ways and means to remove his ignorance. But he intentionally doesn't care to remove his ignorance. We have websites, we have scholars, we have mashallah books available, we have so much information sources and outlets available. If I'm serious, I can always turn to those one of those authentic sources if I'm serious so this guy he went to the mountains in the outskirts of the city of Medina he started crying a lot from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ya's and disappointment is a tool of shaitan at no stage we should get disappointed but we have to do the tawbah appropriately and properly so after a while The ayat of Holy Quran was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala الَّذِينَ إِذَا اِذْظَلَمُوا الَّذِينَ اِذْظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ So when this ayat of الَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَحِشَةً So those I don't remember the whole ayat so I'm not reading it so I don't recite it wrongfully So this ayat of Holy Quran when it was revealed Prophet came, Prophet asked from some of his ashab that where is Bahlul? And they told Ya Rasulullah, he went outside the outskirts of the city of Medina. So Prophet went with a bunch of ashab and they discovered that he was sitting in on a mountain between two stones and he was saying this statement that Ya Allah, your messenger has also thrown me out. So where can I go now? I have no other place to go. So Prophet said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down a verse of Holy Quran. So this verse of Holy Quran actually is a sign that Allah has forgiven the person and the rahmat of Allah has included it. So at every stage of our life, we should be prepared for tawbah. And we should be read tawbah and that's why our urafa say that it's actually the tawbah of Allah towards the abd before the tawbah of abd happens towards Allah what do we mean tawbah of Allah towards the abd tawbah means ruju literally the literal meaning of the word tawbah that means if Allah performs the ruju Allah turns to the abd to his servant to his slave Allah provides His mercy towards His slave so that he gets the tawfiq of tawbah
And because of the tawfiq of tawbah from Allah, now he performs the tawbah. So this person who performs the tawbah according to the sharaait and conditions, he's already subject to the mercy of Allah.
Isn't that right?
Agar Allah ki rehmat shamil hal na hui hoti to tawbah hi ki tawfiq na milti. So agar kisi bhi insaan ko zindagi ke kisi bhi marhale mein tauba ki taufeeq naseeb ho gayi, iska matlab hai ke Allah ne usko rehmat se uske shamil hal kar di, lehaza usko tauba naseeb hui hai. Salawat padhni hoga.
And besides alhamdulillah, we have the personalities who are considered to be the door and the means of acceptance of all the hawa'ij. We have personalities who are considered to be the keys of acceptance. All the prophets of God were being helped by Imam Ali alayhi salam. All the prophets of God needed the help of Imam Ali alayhi salam, including the holy prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has called Imam Ali alayhi salam several times in his life upon the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sare ke sare anbiya Amirul Mu'mineen ki madad ke muhtaj the. كنتم مع الانبياء سرا ومع رسول الله جهرا. ملائکہ کائنات نے کیا فرمایا تھا
کہ میں سارے کے سارے انبیاء کے ساتھ مخفی طور پہ تھا, سری طور پہ تھا, چھپ کر تھا, اور رسول اللہ کے ساتھ کھلم کھلا موجود تھا.
I was with all the prophets of God hiddenly and with Rasulullah openly.
All the prophets of God needed Imam Ali alayhi salam help.
He is the wasitatul fayl. Even in the wards, the Holy Prophet also turned to Imam Ali alayhi salam. And likewise, each one of those Imams were the wasitatul fayl. And not just that, but we have Abul Fazl Abbas alayhi salam is also given the title of Babul Hawa'ij, the door of all the hajat.
Just, can you imagine how many people, how many mu'mineen are available on the planet Earth? Can you think how many people are praying at one time? How? It's humanly, for a regular human, it's impossible to do that kind of multitasking. But look at the greatness and azamat of Abul Fazl Abbas being given the title of Babul Hawa'ij, you know. And now he is eligible to take the task of all the different du'as which are taking place by different mu'mineen at any given moment in the whole planet. And he's handling all the du'as at the same moment. How can you handle all the du'as at the same time unless you listen to all the du'as at the same time? How can you listen to all the du'as at the same time unless your soul and your ruh has the walayatun takwiniya and the control and the tasallut and governance and hukumat over the souls of others, so you can govern and oversee and have a bird's eye view of all what is going on, so nothing misses out.
This requires walayatun takwiniya. So these are not ordinary personalities. When my teacher Ayatollah Jawadi Abudi Hafizahullah was saying that there is, you know, Imam, you know, when, you know, this, see, the personality of Imam, of Abul Fazl Abbas alayhi salatu wasalam is such which is unique in several aspects. And we will be mentioning a few of those several aspects. Babul Hawa'ij, you know, and Imam Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam is the focus of attention of everyone in the Ahlul Bayt. Everybody is paying attention towards Abul Fazl Abbas. Focus of attention of all. Look at the time in the final moments of Amir Mumineen alayhi salam. Jab Maulai Kainat wasiyatein farma rahe the. To ab sab ka haath ek ek karke, sab ka haath diya gya. Sab ke haath Imam Hasan Mustafa ke haath mein diye gaye. Imam Hussain ka haath, Sirab-e Shehzadi Zainab ka haath, شہزادی ام کلثوم کا ہاتھ سب کا ہاتھ امام حسن مصطفیٰ کے ہاتھ میں دیا گیا، مگر جناب ابو الفضل عباس کا ہاتھ نہیں دیا گیا. ام البنین ایک مرتبہ آگے بڑھتی ہیں، مولا کائنات کی خدمت میں عرض کی کہ مولا کیا میرے بچے کا کچھ قصور ہے؟ کہا کہ حسین کو آگے بڑھنے دیا جائے. امام حسین جب آگے تشریف لاتے ہیں تو ایک مرتبہ میرے مولا نے ابو الفضل عباس کا ہاتھ حسین کے ہاتھ میں دیا. مولا یہ بتا دینا چاہتے تھے کہ بیٹا عباس، ارے شاید مولا یہ کہنا چاہتے تھے کہ بیٹا عباس، ارے میں کربلا میں تو نہیں رہوں گا، مگر علی کی کمی محسوس نہ ہونے دینا، علی کی کسر کمی نہ محسوس ہونے دینا میدان کربلا میں. تو مولا کائنات کی توجہ کا مرکز بھی عباس ہے. لہذا اور آگے بڑھتے ہیں، امام حسین علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام اسی طریقے سے جب یہ کاروان آگے بڑھتا ہے، اور اب وہ وقت بھی آیا کہ جب بنو ہاشم کام آ چکے، جب اصحاب کام آ چکے، یہاں تک کہ روایت میں یہ فقرہ ملتا ہے کہ ابو الفضل عباس مولا کے پاس آتے ہیں اور جہاد کی اجازت مانگی، جہاد کی اجازت مانگی. تو اب مولا نے فرمایا انت حامل و لوائی، یعنی آپ تو میرے پرچم دار ہیں، آپ تو میرے علمدار ہیں. مولا نے کہا جناب عباس کہتے ہیں، مولا وہ لشکر ہی کہاں جس کا میں علمدار ہوں، یعنی اب وہ لشکر ہی کہاں بچا جس کا میں علمدار ہوں، یعنی اب تو سب شہید ہو چکے. مولا نے ابو الفضل عباس کو سکینہ کے لیے پانی لانے کی اجازت دی. ابو الفضل عباس آتے ہیں سکینہ کے پاس، درے خیمہ پہ آتے ہیں، سکینہ آئی اپنے ننھے ہاتھوں سے مشکیزہ لا کے لیا، سکینہ کی آنکھ بن گئی، اب چچا پانی لینے کے لیے جا رہے ہیں، اب تو ضرور پانی آئے گا، اب تو میرے چچا جا رہے ہیں. سکینہ کی امیدوں کا مرکز بھی عباس ہے، سکینہ کی توجہ کا مرکز بھی عباس ہے. اب جو مشکیزہ لے کے پڑے ہیں، سارے بچے کا توجہ یہ کر رہے ہیں کہ سکینہ نے اب مشکیزہ اپنے چچا کو دیا ہے، سارے بچوں کی توجہ بھی اسی طرف ہے کہ ابو الفضل عباس پانی لینے جا رہے ہیں. اب جو مولا روانہ ہوتے ہیں اور اس کے بعد روایت میں یہ فقرہ ملتا ہے کہ جب میرے مولا دریائے فرات میں داخل ہوئے، علی کی شجاعت کا مظہر پیش کیا، فوجیں پلٹ گئی، یہاں تک کہ مولا نے گھوڑے کو دریائے فرات میں اتار دیا، اب جو چلو میں پانی لیا، ایک مرتبہ سکینہ کا تصور آیا کیا ہماری جانے قربان ہو ابو الفضل عباس کی وفا پر، ارے سکینہ کی پیاس یاد آئی، مولا حسین کی پیاس یاد آئی، چلو میں پانی لیا، پانی کو پھینک دیا، فوج اشقیا کے سامنے یہ ثابت کر دیا کہ اب بھی مہر فرات پہ قبضہ ہمارا ہے، تمہارا قبضہ نہیں ہے. عباس ابھی بھی فرات کو فتح کر کے یہ ثابت کر رہے ہیں کہ ہمارا اس مہر پہ قبضہ ہے. مشکیزے کو پانی سے بھرا، خیمے کی طرف واپس پلٹتے ہیں، اشقیا نے چاروں طرف سے گھیر لیا، کیونکہ سب جانتے ہیں کہ یہ علی کے فرزند ہیں، اگر عباس پانی لے کے پہنچ گئے جنگ کا نقشہ ہی بدل جائے گا. چاروں طرف سے فوجوں نے گھیر لیا، ایک شانے پہ حملہ کیا گیا، دایاں شانہ خلق ہوا، ابو الفضل عباس کی امیدیں باقی ہیں، اگر مشکیزے کو بائیں شانے سے تھام لیا، اب جو بائیں شانے پہ حملہ ہوتا ہے، ابھی ابو الفضل عباس کی امید پر قرار ہے، اپنی مشکیزے کو دانتوں سے پکڑ لیا، کسی طریقے سے سکینہ تک پانی پہنچ جائے، ابو الفضل عباس سکینہ کے سامنے شرمندہ نہ ہو، دانتوں سے مشکیزے کو تھام لیا. گھوڑا ابھی بھی آگے بڑھ رہا ہے، ابھی رکے نہیں ہے، یہاں تک کہ بعض تواریخ کے مطابق جب حرملہ نے بعض نقل کے مطابق حرملہ نے ایک تیر
اس مچکی دے کر نشانے کو جل کی طرف جوڑا اور مچکی دے کر نشانہ بنایا، یہاں تک کہ جب مچکی پہ تیر لگا، روایت میں یہ فقرہ ملتا ہے کہ ابو الفضل عباس نے گھوڑے کو وہیں روک دیا، اب آگے نہیں بڑھ رہے، اب آگے بڑھنے کا کیا حاصل جب پانی ہی نہ پہنچا سکے۔ روایت میں عجیب فقرہ ملتا ہے آیت اللہ سی بوائے جو کہ حضرت عباس کے حرم میں نماز پڑھائے کرتے تھے، ایک مرتبہ خواب میں دیکھتے ہیں ابو الفضل عباس خواب میں آتے ہیں، کہتے ہیں کہ تم میرے وہ والے مسائل پڑھا کرو۔ پوچھا مولا کون سے والے مسائل؟ فرمایا ارے ہر شہید جب ہر شہید زمین کربلا پہ گرا ہے تو اس کے ہاتھ سالم تھے، ہاتھوں کا سہارا لے سکتا تھا، ابو الفضل عباس وہ واحد شہید ہے جب زمین کربلا پہ آئے ہیں تو سارے قلم ہو گئے تھے، آنکھ میں تیر پیوست تھا، بدن میں تیر لگے ہوئے تھے، منہ کے بل زمین پہ گرے، دوبارہ سارے کے سارے تیر جب بدن میں پیوستہ ہو گئے۔ کیا شان ہے ابو الفضل عباس کی! روایت میں یہ فکرہ ملتا ہے کہ یہ واحد شخصیت ہے جس نے میرے مولا امام حسین نے کہا بے نفسی انت عباس، تمہارے اوپر میری جان قربان ہو۔ ارے اگر مولا حسین کی جان قربان، ساری کائنات قربان ہو جائے ابو الفضل عباس پر، کیا شان ہے! یہ واحد شخصیت ہے جس کے بارے میں میرے مولا نے کہا کہ بے نفسی انت، ارے میری جان قربان ہو، میری جان قربان ہو تمہارے اوپر۔ ایک مرتبہ فرمایا اور فرمایا الان انقطع ظہری وقلت حیلتی، ارے میری کمر شکستہ ہو گئی اور میری تدبیر کم ہو گئی۔ یہ واحد جملہ ہے جو میرے مولا نے ابو الفضل عباس کے سلسلے میں ادا کیا۔ اب جو عباس کے سرحانے پہنچتے ہیں، عباس کے سرحانے پہنچتے ہیں، ایک مرتبہ مولا سے کہ آپ کو یاد ہے نا جناب ام البنین نے چلتے وقت عباس سے کہا تھا کہ بیٹا میں نے مولا کے بچوں کو اپنا آقا و مولا سمجھا ہے، تو بھائی بن کے مت رہنا، ان کے بھائی بن کے مت رہنا، ان کو بھائی مت سمجھنا، ان کو مولا سمجھنا، ان کو اپنا آقا سمجھنا۔ عباس نے ہمیشہ حسین بیری کو اپنا مولا و آقا سمجھا ہے، یہاں تک کہ جب امام علی علیہ السلام ہر شہید کے کنارے پہنچے ہیں، ہر شہید کے پاس آئے ہیں، اب اس وقت عباس کے پاس پہنچتے ہیں میرے مولا امیر المومنین، جب آتے ہیں امام حسین سے یہ کہا ابو الفضل عباس نے کہ بابا آئے ہیں، بابا کی طرح بابا تشریف آئے ہیں۔ امام حسین کتنا ان کا جی چاہ رہا تھا کہ جلد سے جلد بابا سے ملاقات ہو سکے۔ یہ واحد شہید ہے، شیخ جعفر شوستری نے نقل کیا، ابو الفضل عباس واحد شہید ہے، پیغمبر اکرم نے ہر شہید کو جامع کوثر سے سیراب کیا، شہادت کے وقت جامع کوثر سے سیراب کیا گیا۔ واحد شہید ہے ابو الفضل عباس جنہوں نے پیغمبر کے ہاتھ سے جامع کوثر پینے سے انکار کر دیا، آیت اللہ سے جعفر شوستری نے نقل کیا، واحد شہید ہے جنہوں نے انکار کر دیا یا کہ کیسے میں پانی پیوں، ارے جب تک حسین پیاسے ہیں عباس پانی نہیں پی سکتا۔ اللہ کی طرف سے باب الحوائج کا لقب عباس کو ارادہ کیا گیا، جب ابو الفضل عباس کا علم لے کے امام حسین خیام کی طرف واپس آئے، بچے لب کے کہ علم آ گیا، اب چچا پانی لے کر آئے ہوں گے، اب پانی پہنچ گیا ہے، اب جو پہنچے دیکھا کہ علم تو آیا، علمدار واپس نہیں آیا۔ شہزادی زینب کی توجہ کا مرکز بھی عباس ہے، شہزادی کیا کہتی ہے، بابا میرے ہاتھوں کا بوسا لیتے جاتے تھے اور فرماتے تھے کہ تمہارے ہاتھوں پہ رسن باندھے جائیں گے، اب شہزادی سمجھ گئی کہ وہ وقت آ گیا کہ زینب کے ہاتھوں پہ رسن باندھے جائیں گے۔ ارے جس کا عباس جیسا بھائی ہو کیا مزال ہے کسی کے اس کے ہاتھوں پہ رسن باندھے، مگر اب وہ وقت آ گیا کہ زینب کے ہاتھوں پہ رتن باندھے جائیں گے. یہاں تک کہ جو روایت میں یہ فکرا ملتا ہے, روایت میں فکرا ملتا ہے کہ ایک شاعر نے یہ شعر لکھا کہ امام حسین نے پناہ مانگی, عباس کی پناہ میں آ گئے, روز عاشور وہ مصرع لکھ کے کاٹ دیا. اس نے خواب میں دیکھا کہ امام مخدوم آتے ہیں کہ تم نے مصرع کو کاٹ کیوں دیا, ارے بے شک میں نے اپنے عباس کے پاس پناہ حاصل کی تھی, روز عاشورا میں نے پناہ حاصل کی تھی, ایک مرتبہ فرمایا. یہاں تک کہ عزاداروں جب یہ لٹا ہوا قافلہ کربلا سے واپس مدینے پہنچتا ہے اور بشیر نے جا کے شہدا کی خبریں سنائی اور جناب ام البنین بھی تشریف لائی, آپ کے چار بیٹے شہید ہوئے, ایک ایک کر کے بچوں کی خبر سنانا شروع کی بشیر نے, تو جناب ام البنین کہتی ہے قد قطع کرنی یا قلبی, ارے میرے رگے دل کو پارا پارا کر دیا. بشیر کہتا ہے بی بی میں نے کیا کیا, کہا تو مجھے اصلی خبر نہیں بتا رہا, ارے میرے بچے حسین کے ساتھ کیا ہوا اصلی خبر نہیں بتا رہا. کہتا ہے بشیر نے کہا حسین بھی شہید کر دیے گئے. یہ سننا تھا کہ پورہ میں ام البنین نے ایک مرتبہ مولا کی طرف رخ کیا, نجف کا رخ کیا, امیر المومنین کی طرف توجہ کر کے فرمایا ارے مولا آپ کو تو عباس کی شجاعت پہ بڑا ناز تھا, ارے میرا حسین مارا گیا. بشیر کہتا ہے بی بی ایسا مت کہیے, جب تک ابو الفضل عباس زندہ رہے حسین پہ آج نہیں آنے دی.
أنا لعنت الله على القوم الظالمين فسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إلهي بحق الصحراء وأبيها وبعدها وكلها والسر المستودع فيها بارها پرچم اسلام کو سر بلند فرما, پرچم کفر و شرک و نفاق کو سر نگون فرما, انقلاب اسلامی کی حفاظت فرما, تمام علماء ربانیین تمام مراجع کرام بالخصوص رہبر انقلاب کا سایہ ہمارے سروں پہ برقرار ہے, تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیق میں اضافہ فرما, تمام مومنین کی جان مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما, تمام مومنین کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما, تمام مومنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عنایت فرما, ہماری اس قریب عبادت کو قبول فرما, ہمیں اس وقت تک اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا جب تک امام زمانہ ہم سے راضی نہ ہو جائے, ان کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما, ہم سب کو ان کے انصار و اشیاء میں قرار دے. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم بجاہ محمد و آلہ المؤمنین یا سید
یا عباس